Hello and welcome to The Housing Platform, a podcast brought to you by Platform Housing Group. At the start of 2024, Platform have been talking to the sector about the opportunities of using artificial intelligence in housing. At conferences across the Midlands, the information team have held workshops and discussions at key industry events to offer their thoughts on how AI can shape the way housing associations can best serve their customers. My name's Richard Hurst. I'm a communications business partner. And in this podcast, you'll be hearing from our Chief Information Officer, John Cocker, who appeared on stage at Housing Digital in Birmingham and Housing Technology in Nottingham. At both events, he discussed the opportunities and risks around the use of AI in housing. Plus, at Housing Technology, our enterprise architect, Rich Hawkes, talked us through some case studies of work undertaken so far. First, here's John Cocker covering off some key opportunities that AI presents for housing.
As you all know, and probably if you've been in housing for a long time now, the role of a housing officer and the role of housing association 10 years ago is very different to what it is now. The remit of what we do has expanded massively as other support services and services at the peripheries have dropped down a little bit. So that means for the same resources, we need to do more. We need to look after customers more. We've got more around the welfare side, got more around, you know, acting as social services and things like that and being able to signpost people. We're doing a lot more around ASB and owning that from an end-to-end journey. So we've got the same resources, but we're doing a lot more. And this is where we think that AI is going to have a real impact on it, is to make not only the process for that more efficient, but to remove a lot of that back-end drudgery, to make sure that the admin side and all those pieces are done automatically. So what we can do is we can use our people to do what people do best, which is managing relationships with our customers. And that's the key thing that technology cannot do. It can't manage relationships with customers, it can't build those relationships. We can only do that as people, because at the moment, there's only us that can understand emotions, there's only us that can understand that, so those circumstances. So we need to be really clear about that. What I'm just going to carry on now is just talk about some more of the opportunities that artificial intelligence can pick up. This is something I'm really keen on. This is something I think is a real opportunity for, which is that tailored services aspect. As you probably have, some people have done some work on, segmenting customers, understanding your different customer bases, your different customer needs. And I think that's a real opportunity to go hand in hand with artificial intelligence, to look at that customer segmentation, look at those individual customer needs, and actually tailor our services and tailor the information that we give to our customers at that point. And so some of the examples that we could probably have is, you know, when you start looking at what that customer makeup is, you could probably look at welfare help for customers, you could look at probably, you know, pet insurance, things like that. And so having that sort of Amazon type experience, you know, and you, I'm sure everybody's used Amazon, where you purchase something and it offers you four different products that other people have done, or it might be the, you know, it might be the batteries for the camera or something like that that you've purchased. And it's having that association, and that's a real opportunity for us to, again, to start giving services to customers that they perhaps don't know they need, that we provide. Because I'm sure, like every housing association, you've got lots of great initiatives around welfare, around signposting, around skills training that we have, around digital skills that we have in Platform as well. And actually, customers don't know them until we tell them. So it's a massive opportunity for us to identify that with those systems and actually proactively sell those services to our customers so they can take full advantage of that. And the other aspect of tailored services as well is tailored services for our colleagues as well. So I'm sure everybody, you know, housing officers go out into the field, they're probably using the same apps as everybody else to get the same information, but then they will drill down into that property. Wouldn't it be amazing if we used artificial intelligence to actually, again, using the Amazon style, that as you get to that property, it's informing our colleagues that there's different situations, either in the local area or in that property or with that particular customer, proactively. So again, we can provide those services and advertise those services to those customers. So what it's doing, it's not relying on our housing officers' knowledge. It's that proactive piece of work of understanding the customer needs, understanding the area needs, understanding the property needs, and actually providing that information up front proactively and allowing us to do that. So I think there's a real opportunity for that tailored services piece for artificial intelligence to start surfacing that info and giving that real knowledge to people as we go forward. Another massive piece of work that artificial intelligence do is that prediction. Now, we always talk about, you know, the holy grail of housing is that predictive repairs. And I've not been to the repairs workshops, but I'm fairly sure that at some point it's been predicted that artificial intelligence and repairs have been mentioned together, where we can, you know, proactively actually say, there's an opportunity here that the boiler looks like it might be going, or this particular component in a boiler only lasts 5 years, and having that way of being able to manage repairs so they aren't reactive repairs, but we can plan them in because we've got that real understanding of what the component data looks like, a real understanding of how long the timescales last. So I can see that as a massive, massive opportunity for the sector to be able to, you know, make that repairs service really effective. You know, and I have we talk about things like, you know, what's the future vision. So we've got an IoT device, Switchy, which I'm sure a lot of people use, that monitors the boiler. What a great service would it be that, you know, we identify that boiler might be going wrong. That signals to our CRM that there might be an issue. We can automatically ring that customer with, you know, natural language or artificial intelligence, say, we think your boiler's going to go wrong. Tell us when you are available for a repair. And then that repair is booked online by artificial intelligence. So the first person the customer actually speaks to is the engineer that turns upon the door. But what a great service is that somebody rings you up and actually says, this product or this service is actually going to go wrong. We're going to sort it out before you even notice that it's going to happen. And I think that's where the future lies in, is be able to do that. But voids as well, you know, there's probably some predictive patterns that we can use around voids, whether a customer is going to leave, but also that number of voids and the volumes and the opportunities around that. Arrears, you know, there's technology out there already. It'd be remiss of me not to put it onto this, but understanding the customer patterns on there and understanding how customers' payment methods and payment timescales change subtly that a person might not notice, but artificial intelligence does, and allows us to make those early interventions on those customers so we can catch them before they do get into arrears, which is good for the customer and good for us. Damp and mould, I think Richard's going to pick up that as well on damp and mould, but there's a propensity for damp and mould. Is it around the archetype of the property? Is it around the SAT rating? Is it around the makeup of the customers? Is it around the environmental factors? Well, actually, artificial intelligence will be able to help us do that. I'm sure you're all inundated with damp and mould inquiries at the moment. What would be really nice, again, is to have that predictive nature where we can give a percentage chance that this property will suffer from damp and mould based on all these variables, and actually proactively visit the customers to help them before that becomes damp and mould, so it doesn't become an issue. Tenant satisfaction measures, so the C rating is in April. There's a lot of things that we think artificial intelligence can do to be able to, you know, facilitate the improvement in those tenant satisfaction measures and how we can move those forward. And KPIs is another one. Understanding and being able to predict to our board where we think the KPIs might be improving or reducing, and actually being able to put interventions up front to alleviate any issues before that actually starts.
More from John shortly, but now let's bring in a case study with Rich Hawkes on the work to combat damp and mould.
Let's talk a little bit more about what we've done with that. So we have Switchy devices in a proportion of our homes, but to roll them out organisation-wide, we've got 50,000 homes, we need to consider, A, is there benefit in doing it for us? And if we do that, it's going to take time. We need to start releasing some of these benefits quicker. So we've taken the sample data that we've got around DNM, then fed, and from Switchy, we've then fed that data into one of those machine learning models that I spoke about earlier, and then we use variables such as the archetype, and as John said, how many people live in that home. From there, we're then able to have a list which has predictions of whether a home's likely to have damp and mould, and to geographically show us where are the hotspots that we need to focus on, but also what are the top 10, top 20 properties, and we're going out visiting those properties and we've, sure enough, found damp and mould. So this is another model that does work and really can release benefits. To build this model, same again as before, Microsoft AI Machine Learning Studio, and we've used a data scientist to help build that model together. I think the part that's when we start looking at DNM, though, for us it's about what are the fail safes that we need to put into that process. So for us, we can't rely on that prediction list. We also need to make sure that we've got really strong manual processes that allow us to both ingest the data and the findings from the model, but also for those customers that contact us. So whether you're a prediction, whether you've contacted us, you get that same experience. And the fail safes that we've put in place with this one are around making sure that making sure that when a customer contacts us, we're putting it into the correct case type, but then building a dashboard to be able to monitor that and then compare that to the data that comes out of the machine learning model to make sure we've got no cases falling through the cracks. Quite an exciting one.
Yes, it's great.
One of the key factors in the use of AI is around big data and big data sets. So here's John Cocker with more thoughts on opportunities there.
A couple more opportunities there. So the gaining insight, the document analysis piece on ChatGPT is just it's just absolutely wonderful if you've ever used it. And again, you have to be careful to make sure it is anonymized and things like that. But if you have a complex report, pop into ChatGPT and ask it to summarise it. Quite recently, we did a piece of work around getting feedback from a lot of our senior management team around, you know, different processes and things in the organisation. And I thought, well, actually, you know, I can read reams and reams of feedback, or what I can do is anonymise, take the names out, pop it into ChatGPT to give me the themes, and it can be 10 themes. And actually, I presented those 10 themes to the exec team, and it was like, wow, that is actually, you know, that's exactly what the summary should be. But really insightful stuff, and that large amount of documentation, that large amount of information, being able to summarise that very, very quickly, you know, huge efficiencies from there. And that large data sets, you know, we're all collecting data. We're probably in this room, we're probably responsible for probably a million properties across the country, perhaps even more. We're collecting huge amounts of repairs data, huge amounts of damp and mould data. And actually, if we combine that data, again, anonymously, and let big data work, let data scientists have a look at it, there's huge opportunities for us as an entire sector to collaborate and work together to be able to produce really good outcomes for our customers and for our properties that saves us, you know, heartache for our customers and bad experiences, but saves us a load of money and a load of time and gives that really good experience looking in the world of, as you all know, we're going from a governance perspective, from a G1, V1 to a C rating as well, and that's going to be absolutely critical. So using this information to be able to leverage that is critical.
Now, with all that talk of data, let's go back to hear from Richard Hawkes now with another example of AI working hard to help with information and backlogs.
We've got this issue that I dare say probably every organisation in the room has, where you need to make universal credit claims come in. We then have to validate them against how much rent and service charges are being paid, and then submit that data back to DWP. It's great, but it's an admin heavy task done through a portal with limited integration options. More's coming apparently, but we're not there yet. But we've got to a point where we had a bit of a backlog and we needed to clear those claims so that we could offer a better customer experience. So we used Microsoft's Power Automate desktop solution to then build out a flow which interrogated Open Housing, that's the housing management system we're using, pulled out all of the rents and service charges, then went into the DWP page, scraped the data out. With that data, it then said, well, these are the claims you've got. Compare it to the rent and service charges, pre-populate a holding database, and then pump that data back in through the website. From that, we're at a point now where we've saved thousands of hours of work. We're offering a better customer experience because the onboarding and the success rate around getting those claims right and making sure that customers are getting their universal credit paid correctly is more timely. And I think probably one of the other biggest improvements is that people did see this sort of robotic piece as a threat. You know, we're removing some of those admin tasks and there's people working in those jobs. What that's allowed us to do is refocus those staff onto actually adding benefit and then actually helping the customers rather than doing just the form filling. And from that, it's also reduced pressure on them. So it has the byproduct of not just improving the customer experience, but also then improving the colleague experience, which is a sort of double win-win for us. What did we use to make it happen? We used, as I say, Power Automate Desktop. We've then integrated that with a housing management system. So these are all tools which are quite easily available, and you can get a proof of concept of these kind of things up and running within a day. We built the core solution here for this within 2 days. It's that quick to be able to develop, as long as you've got those skills to be able to do that. What I would say one challenge we found is it's great when you're working with RPA and you can predict what it is you're integrating with, such as a web page, and you can pull out the labels and the IDs of components on a page. Some of the legacy applications, though, are more difficult to control, and we've had a few challenges with that, but we're finding that once we've cracked those challenges, we don't have to rely on APIs being made available. We can then surface an API that utilises the RPA. Oh my God, that's a lot of acronyms. An interface that allows us to control the robot. So it was a great example for us. It was the first real example of getting the robots going. And there was a piece in the last Housing Technology magazine about this. So I'd encourage people to have a read and reach out to us if you want to see it in action.
And it must be said, I don't know if anybody is from 13 Group, but 13 Group had pre-done something very similar to this. So massive thanks to Hassan and Phil from 13 Group, because they've got a model that they very, very kindly let us have a look at, which was the inspiration for our own model as well. So full credit where that's due.
To finish, here's a look at some of the risks as John sees them ahead of wrapping up what AI could be doing for housing.
Privacy is a key one. Privacy is known. So again, 20, I mean, I'm an old man now, so 20 years ago, my data weren't anywhere online particularly. You know, it was, we didn't even have broadband internet when I were, in my early 20s, it was still 56K dial-up. So, we never even dreamt of having my entire life on Facebook. But now everybody's life's on Facebook, but we also know what everybody's doing. You know, you don't need that much triangulation of data to understand a customer, you understand their pet's name, understand where they're going on holiday. You know, all of that data and artificial intelligence is a real risk for that, because you've got an automatic system that can go on poll data and it can go across the entire internet to find that customer. You can probably get a full picture of that customer. So you imagine the implications, the privacy implications. Has that customer had a password been compromised on, have you been pawned or something like that? You know, being able to pull that together into one place, hacker's dream, and we need to be very careful, and we have a moral obligation as a sector to make sure that that privacy is founded. But you have to remember, where are you analysing the data? Is it in the UK? Is it gone abroad? Has it gone somewhere else? Is somebody else actually accessing that data? And you need to understand that before you start utilising these systems. Is the data being used? So you know, if you put something in ChatGPT-3 now, it's using that to train itself, So you put that data into ChatGPT and that's disappearing into its own training data. You need to make sure that you all understand if your data is being used to train. Do you want your data out there? Are you collecting it for legitimate interest, standard GDPR, Are you doing it just because you can, or are you doing it because you've got a real need to understand this data about the customer? Are you actually going to use it? Key one, again, standard GDPR principle. Don't just do it because we can. This technology is going to allow us all these opportunities, but we just need to make sure that we're doing the right things at the right time. And are our customers informed that that's where their data is going to be? And that's a real key one. The big concern is jobs. I have to address it. It's the obvious one. A lot of people talk about it. Now, as I mentioned earlier on, housing has changed in the last 10 years. We're doing a lot more with the same resources. For me in housing, I see artificial intelligence as a real opportunity to be able to get back to basics, to cement that relationship management with our customers and let the systems do the drudgery work, the calculations, the sending of the odd letter, those standard processes, allowing us to be able to go out and deal with our customers like we should be doing. So I don't see it as a threat, but that's not to say it won't be a threat across other sectors. Artificial intelligence and finance, that calculation of numbers, that kicking out of numbers, there's huge opportunities there. And I can see the financial sector jumping onto this, certainly in the next couple of years, and, huge amounts. For us, we are a people business, we are a people sector. There's some things we can do, but that relationship with customers is absolutely critical. One of the other risks is that bias in data sets. So you may not know this, but artificial intelligence can be biased. And I will give you one example of this one is artificial intelligence in recruiting developers. So recruiting developers in technology tend to be a certain age and they tend to be male. So you chuck their CVs in to artificial intelligence, it will tell you the best people because of the numbers in there to be developers are a certain age and they are male. That's not necessarily the case. It's not the case. But what we need to do is to make sure when we're utilising artificial intelligence, we're using artificial intelligence, our data sets do not have that bias in. And you need to make sure that you incorporate that. So have you got the right ethnicity mix? Have you got the right age mix? Have you got that number in there to make sure that you're not making those mistakes? Because as Ian eloquently said, Crap goes in, crap goes out. They're a bit more eloquent than that, but it's ultimately the same. You will get the answers that you want rather than the answers that actually exist. So make sure you've got a diverse data collection system. Make sure you've got a diverse team that are working on it. Make sure that you develop the AI models that are transparent and you can explain them to people, how it's making those calculations. Make sure it's easy to understand.
So just in summary, there's huge opportunities and risks of artificial intelligence in housing. I would encourage everybody to have a play. So something we've done in Platform is we've built a paper around guardrails around artificial intelligence that we're going through our governance process at the moment now. So, but what we're having is we're buying enterprise license ChatGTP ones so people can play. Same as, you know, any other system now. With a credit card, you can go about and buy a SaaS system. People can and do use these free artificial intelligence tools. So it's pointless trying to hide from it. It's happening now. So make sure you've got those guide rails in place, make sure you've got the guidance for usage, get them in place and make sure they are publicised, but then give people a safe environment to play with and allow them to have that opportunity. Because if you don't, they will do it anyway. And that's the clear message on there. Huge potential for positive improvements in the sector. You know, a lot of that admin, a lot of the data, a lot of that tailored services. I think there's massive possibilities for us as a sector to be able to embrace that. But again, it's just being careful about what we do and when we do it. But a key message again is that collaboration between the designers, the suppliers, us in the sector and customers as well, making sure that we are doing the right things at the right time and it's accurate and it's ethical and it does all the things that we want it to do to give us that end space.
So we hope that's given you some food for thought around what AI can do in housing. And at Platform, we're preparing our own paper to guide ourselves and the sector through the minefield that is artificial intelligence. So please reach out to us if you want to know more. Our website is platformhg.com.